This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 8:39. Joining us in the KBOI studios this morning, Travis Hartke, associate coach for cross country out of Boise State, and coming off a very successful meet in the Roy Griak Invitational, where Brenna Pelequin was recognized as the U.S. Track and Field Cross Country Association Division I Women's Athlete of the Week. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, she ran an amazing race, and if you haven't watched it, I would FloTrack actually taped that race. I would go back and watch it because the camera's on her the whole time, and she is so focused, and you can tell she really wanted to win. And the girl who she beat, Erin Finn from Michigan, she is one of the top girls in the NCAA right now, so to beat her by 11 seconds is pretty big.
11 seconds is, that's monstrous.
Well, let's just let people know how big a meet the Griak is. It's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, middle of the country. It seems like all the top comers come to this. It's like the early season big meet before you get the NCAA meet in early November, mid-November?
Yeah, so it's not the biggest. Our meet in 3 weeks is at Wisconsin, and that's kind of the biggest Division I meet. But it's the first real weekend we get to compete, and so there was actually 8 ranked teams there. It's early, so rankings don't mean as much right now. But there's 8 ranked teams, and a lot of great individuals, and it was really good competition.
What was her strategy? Did she get out early?
Well, what basically it was we knew Erin Finn. Erin Finn was the favorite, and we knew Erin was gonna kind of make a move early, and it was super muddy. They got 3 inches of rain the days leading up to it, so it was really muddy and kind of really slippery. We had really long spikes in, and so we knew when Erin made the move, we told Brenna that she could go with her, and Brenna just stayed relaxed with her until about 4K. The race is 6K, and she made a move right at 4K, and Erin wasn't looking great, so she couldn't keep up with her.
So in horse racing in the mud, you bet the horse with big feet.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, he's big. Now, is that an unusual distance, 6,000 meters?
It's our race distance. It's what the women race throughout the entire year. I don't know how we got to that point, but but it is. It's around 4 miles.
Now, last year as a freshman, Allie Ostrander won the Mountain West Championship and then placed second at the NCAA meet. How is she doing? I know she had a great summer. Olympic trials, almost made the Olympic team.
Yeah, she's doing well. She has a little bit of an injury right now, so we are being very cautious with it. I think, the thing about Allie is and it's something I think she had to learn, too. She's on a different level. She's a different type of person, and she doesn't have to have the race experience that some of our younger girls have, because she was 8th in the Olympic trials already. So we're being very cautious, and the positive to that is obviously Brenna was able to do big things in the race. And then sometimes when you're missing Allie, your number one girl, that helps the rest of the group develop. And because, we had to count a lot more. We had our 2 through 6 runners finish within 22 seconds of each other. And we had to count a lot more on making sure they were doing what they needed to do.
Is there a chance for a red shirt for Allie to make her a freshman in the spring for outdoors?
Possibly, yeah. It's, sometimes you don't make those decisions till later in the season.
Sure.
So, could be. It could go either way at this point.
Now, Brenna was 11th in this race last year, right?
Correct, yeah. She was a true freshman.
So she's really improved.
Yeah, she has. There's a FloTrack actually also did an article last week about her improvement, because Brenna's a girl that, you know, never won a high school state title, and looking at it right now, she's probably one of the favorites to win a national title this fall.
So what would be the chances if they both were healthy running in the national meet? Could they go 1-2? Could they go 1-2 in the Mountain West meet? I mean,
yeah,
I mean, are they both that good? I mean,
yeah, and they're both ranked currently 1-2 in the national rankings individually. So, I don't know. I honestly, with how good Brenna's training and looking right now, I don't know who, if Allie was racing, who would have actually won on Saturday. But, you know, nonetheless, we've got having two horses up front is a great thing.
So they try to run as a team.
Yeah.
But they're all competitive.
Correct.
I got to believe that would be a real interesting match down to the finish if, say, there was, what, however many meters to go, and they're both right there 1-2.
Correct.
Let's say the national or conference championship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if they've broken the rest of the entire field.
Yeah. It's great stuff. 8:45, you're listening to Bronco Tuesday.
KBOI.
All right. We are back. Travis Hartke, our guest, cross-country coach at Boise State. Let's talk a little bit about the men. They actually finished ahead of the women at the GRIAC, right?
Correct. And I thought, overall, our men had a very great day. We got beat by two pretty good teams. Iowa State's pretty good. And Portland's pretty good, but they're kind of falling apart at the end. They won. They kind of went out really hard. There's an effect to that when you're racing in that much mud. So I think that was kind of their strategy, and that it worked. Our men ran really well. And what I guess we probably would have been second. Our normal number one guy, Michael Vinard, was actually our fifth guy. He kind of fell back later in the race. He had some stomach issues, but I was pretty pleased with it. And I think, like the men's team, by the end of the year, we can be top 10 to a trophy team, top four.
Now, they got beat by Iowa State. Isn't that where Emils is from?
I came from there, too.
was it your recruits that beat you?
No, actually, they're all gone, which is a good thing for I didn't enjoy watching my recruits there either. No, they're all gone. And if Mike was in the right place, we would have beat Iowa State too. So
so the men, we haven't heard like a lot of names on the men's side. Pelequin and Ostrander have been winning meets. Is it more of just a group effort? Is it a team that you get a deeper group so you're getting better scores?
We haven't had, you know, the number one person that is in the top 10. But what we do have is we have probably a lot deeper of a team at this point. If you look at our spread, Yusuke Uchikoshi, who was our top guy on Saturday, he finished 7th. We had Myler Haller at 13th, and Michael Vinard was in the low 30s, and he was our fifth guy on Saturday. What we have probably, I don't know, 9 interchangeable guys that are pretty close to each other. And we have a little bit bigger of a gap between the first two and the, you know, what closes the door, 4, 5, and 6, our men are closer together. So the closer we can race and the farther up we can race, the better we're going to be. So
now coming up at the end of October, I believe it's Friday, October 28th, Boise State hosting the Mountain West Championships.
Yep.
Where's it going to be? How can people see it? And then maybe the toughest question, can we sweep? The team was picked 2nd in both, so time now for us to put a little pressure on. We want to win the thing, you know?
Well, let's start. It's at Falcon Crest Golf Course in CUNA, so it's a little bit, you know, it's 25 minutes out from Boise State, but just a little shout out to them. If you're thinking about playing golf, go there because they've been great to us. They've let us practice out there. They've done everything we needed. So that's why we're having our course out there.
And they got those open spaces, man, from green to tee at Falcon Crest, about a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
We're on the, we're just using one course, and it's basically comes down to 2K loops. So it's not a huge course. It's probably a good spectator course, and it's a little hilly. it'll be good for us. And so it's like the women are doing 3 2K loops and the men are doing 4 2K loops. So you'll be able to see and everything. I actually do think on the women's and men's side, we do have a chance to win. I think probably for on the men's side, we have the best shot. The women's side, obviously, our biggest rival is New Mexico, who won nationals last year. They had a perfect season last year. Nothing went wrong. I don't know if that's the case this year. So I think we're pretty competitive with them as well.
What time does it start? And is there a trick to watching cross country? How do you want to? Do you want to stand a certain spot? Do you move?
Well, the 2K loop is nice. The races, the 6K for women starts at 10 a.m. and then 10:45 a.m. is the 8K for men. And with having it 2K loop, you almost you can start by the start line and you just go across the field and they'll loop around. So it's almost like you can go back and forth and see. You know, see them 10 to 12 times, really.
That's pretty good. Travis, best of luck. What do you got coming up next?
Well, we are kind of in a major training cycle right now. So this is our, you know, these next couple weeks is kind of our hardest time of the season.
Sure.
So 2 weeks from now, we go to Utah State. We have kind of it will take our more developmental kids who, you know, give them a chance to race. And down there, it isn't as competitive as the next week we go to Wisconsin, which will have about 20 ranked teams on each side, and they only rank 30 teams. So pretty good field.
All right. Travis, thanks for being with us this morning. Best of luck.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, Travis Hartke, KBOI News Time, 8:53.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
All right, very quickly, Jeremy McNichols and Sean Whale won Players of the Week.
We kind of thought McNichols was a given. Yes, 208 yards rushing, 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. Big win over a Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
And then Sean Whale, 46.5 yards a punt.
3 over 50.
Yeah, and 3 knockdown inside the 20. You know, the thing about him, he's so consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much 40 yards every time he punts. Better than 40 yards, and you just pretty much write it down. You know it.
Yep. And Peliquin, of course, won the National Honored Division I Athletes of the Week. And Boise State freshman Ramey Shirley, Mountain West Offensive Player of the Week in soccer. So a pretty good week.
And soccer opened
2-0.
So that was a good week for them.
Yeah.
And then coming up for Boise State football this week, of course, we've got the game Saturday night, 8:15 against Utah State. Boise State enters the game ranked 24th in the Associated Press poll, 15th year in a row.
15th year.
Boise State has been in the top 25 at one time or another during the year. Our coaches show this week, 7 o'clock right here on 670 KBOI. Our scheduled guest, Lee Marks, a running backs coach, offensive lineman Travis Averill, and the nose tackle David Moa, who's getting all those sacks.
Yeah, sweet. And then, of course, game day coverage begins at 3 on Saturday. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live will defrag the debate last night. Sports guys didn't watch Monday Night Football. We want something more competitive.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, good morning, 9:06. What did you watch on TV last night, Banjo-wise?
Let's see. I can't remember what channel it was.
But all channels.
It seemed like it was just about all of them except for ESPN. Watch that debate between... you know, what's his name? Donald and Secretary Trump. Secretary Clinton. That's what they were calling each other. She called him Donald.
Yeah.
And he called her Secretary Clinton. So it's like, you know, Bob was saying during the commercial when he was in here, he said, why didn't they have specific things that they were supposed to call each other? You know, like very strict rules. I said, well, you saw how much they paid attention to the strict timing. They didn't seem to really care what the rules were. They just wanted to, you know, keep talking.
pretty funny. Headlines this morning, CNN, you know, liberal.
They say, who won?
Trump loses his cool.
Yeah, exactly. So they think Hillary won.
You live in your own reality, Clinton tells him. Poll, round one to Clinton.
Okay, what did the Drudge Report say?
Well, let's go to Fox News.
Okay, what did Fox News say?
Same Fox question. News, online polls declare Trump debate winner despite media consensus.
Yeah, do tell.
For Clinton.
That was the funniest thing last night is I
the
told
Drudge
you,
Report, 80% gave it to Trump.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of depends on your point of view.
Sure.
Last night, I was on Twitter almost from the beginning, and
me
about 15 minutes in or 20 minutes in or so, my wife turns to me and she sees that I'm on Twitter and she says, well, what's going on Twitter? What's the consensus? And I said, there is no consensus. I said, there's a pro-Trump tweet, then there's a pro-Hillary tweet, then there's a pro-Trump tweet, and then it's just on and on like that. It was practically every other one. It was rare when you got two or three in a row that were for the same person.
You sure find out the politics of the people you follow on Twitter. Wow.
You do, because everybody was watching the same debate.
Yeah,
but some people were going, Hillary got a big zinger in there. And somebody else would say, Hillary just made a point that doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You know, everybody saw each one of the questions and each one of the statements or heard them differently.
My take on the whole thing was Dennis Green, man. They are who we thought they were.
Oh, yeah.
They are who when he's talking about
they
who,
are
the
who,
Bears.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Bears.
The team you just lost to, what was the problem there? They are who we thought they were. We prepared for them and then didn't,
execute.
And then didn't execute.
Yeah.
And
that's what I thought
comments,
about the debate. I doubt if they changed anybody's mind.
The only consensus there seemed to be anywhere on the internet was that Hillary Clinton had measured and prepared answers.
Yeah.
You know, she apparently knew every word she was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump, on the other hand, was just Trump. I mean, he doesn't really speak from prepared notes. He just kind of gets up there and talks.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing in the debate. I mean, he had a lot of facts at his disposal, as did she. And, you know, whether or not they're right, I mean, depends on who you check with. There were fact checkers who were giving opposite answers to things.
Yeah.
Like, I just checked the facts on that, and that's not true. Well, I just checked a different source, and it is true.
Yeah, and Trump had that sniffle thing going.
That was a little strange. I wasn't expecting that.
I expected his daughter to yell, blow your nose!
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, if you just flat out have the sniffles, that's hard to control.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were making jokes yesterday before the thing started. People were saying, she's going to cough her way through it, and then that won't look good.
She didn't cough at all.
And she didn't cough at all, and he had the sniffles, so it was almost the opposite.
Exactly. I just think that was...
I was going to say, yeah, there were also a few...
his expressions.
There were a few comments that thought that he went into the bathroom and enjoyed something off a mirror before the whole thing started.
Yeah, you know.
But, you know, like I said, there are comments that say everything.
Yeah, and Lester Holt completely lost control early and often. I really haven't seen any.
Well, you know, every time
anything
he would,
this morning ripping him, but
well,
man,
every time he would open his mouth. It would be to say, okay, we need to move on to the next question. And nobody ever wanted to move on.
Yeah,
because every time she said something, he wanted to counter it. And
yeah.
Every time he said something, she wanted to counter it.
Yeah.
And so they didn't pay attention to the rules at all. It would be nice if there were no counter whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's ask Mr. Trump a question, and then Mrs. Clinton will give her statement, and then we go on to a new thing. It's Mrs. Clinton's turn first, and then Trump will react, and you just went like that.
Trump constantly interrupted Clinton. She never interrupted him.
Well, she started to, and he wouldn't let her.
Yeah. He also interrupted the moderator, Lester Holt.
Mm-hmm.
Holt would try to change the subject, and Trump would go,
Yeah.
Like that, and Holt would shut up.
Well, he'd say, I just have one more thing to say about that, and as you and I know,
yeah.
30 seconds doesn't seem like much, but when you need that 30 seconds and lose it to somebody else, it's gone forever.
Yeah, that's very true. First presidential debate kept fact checkers busy, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of less than accurate claims. Clinton wrongly said the only tax returns that anyone has seen from Trump showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. He paid federal taxes 3 out of 5 years in the 70s, not since.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was right in saying that Ford is moving its small car division overseas, but wrong in claiming that as a result, thousands of jobs are leaving Michigan and Ohio. Ford insists not a single job was lost in the U.S.
Trump, I wonder if that's true.
Well, see.
How do you move a whole division to a different country and not a single job is lost in the U.S.?
And that's the problem with...
And by job, do they mean you had a full-time job and now we're going to offer you a part-time job so you don't lose your job?
See,
well, guess what? That's the same as losing your
president?
Job.
Why don't you run for president?
I'm just asking the questions here. I don't necessarily have the answers.
No, run for president because they never answer anything either.
Well, and it's...
They say, well, no, that's wrong. That's false. That's this. That's
most,
that.
And most of what Hillary Clinton last night said about Donald Trump started with the words maybe. Maybe he's not releasing his tax returns because he doesn't want you to know this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'll do this. And maybe somebody with his temperament shouldn't be in charge. And maybe. Yeah. And so she was kind of debating just a scenario that she created.
She was debating the debate.
But she was getting under his skin. And he, you know, every time she'd say something about what he had said in the past or what he had believed in the past, and he'd just tell her straight out, you're wrong.
Yeah,
but what's funny about them is exactly what you said with Dennis Green. They are what we thought they were. She acted like herself the entire debate. He acted like himself the entire debate.
Do you think her answers were changed?
Her answers were, you know, very scripted and practiced, and his weren't. His were more like, beautiful. Believe me.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Trump left the false impression the Obama administration failed to disclose the full amount paid to Iran in January. They had. Clinton said Trump thinks climate change is a hoax perpetuated by the Chinese. Trump denied it. In 2012, he tweeted that the Chinese had created global warming and then later said it was a joke. He's done that on more than one occasion.
Well, they do produce more smog than anybody else.
Oh, boy. Trump claimed without evidence that the Clinton campaign in 2008 was pushing very hard the false story that President Obama was born in Kenya.
And here's a question that he didn't answer directly. Whenever they were asking him about the whole birther thing with President Obama, what Lester Holt and probably Hillary Clinton also wanted to know was, okay, we decided a long time ago that he was born in America. You know, why did you just admit that now? And why did you waste so many resources and so much time going after that? And rather than answer that question, why did you do it? He just said, I got him to it. You know, I was the only one doing it. I got him to show off his birth certificate. I think I did pretty well.
When was that, Chris?
So the question he asked was, the question he answered was, were you successful in getting President Obama to admit where he was born or to prove where he was born? And he said, yes. But the question they asked was, why did you even bother?
Yeah, or why did you wait so long to acquiesce when he got that birth certificate in 2011? And so he waits till 2016 to say, yeah, whatever. Yeah, interesting.
Well, the easiest answer for him would have been, I was not convinced and I thought it was important.
Yeah. 9:15, you're listening to Idaho Talks Live. KBOI Rewards Code Pundit. Pundits, P-U-N-D-I-T-S. Go to 670kboi.com, enter pundits, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Jason of Star. Jason, what'd you think?
Hey, I might have been a little bored at times. It wasn't as fiery as I expected.
No, I was disappointed as well.
I was let down. I'll say Trump did warn or say that he was going to go easy or be respectful, and for him, he probably was. I'm extremely anti-Hillary, but I can't complain. She was almost robotically perfect and polished, but that's what I expect from a well-rehearsed politician. So she kind of bored me, and Trump just didn't take it to her the way I expected. And all the pundits know he missed some opportunities, and maybe that's because he played nice. But I was kind of thinking about changing the channel a few times.
You know, actually, didn't you think when he started out, he was really low-key, almost to, somnolence. He just, he talked in a measured monotone, and then as he got into it, I thought he woke up.
I agree. Actually, the opening was like a boring first chapter of a book.
Yep.
He was kind of real low. I'll take a page from him. He was a little low energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I just was not overly thrilled, and she was too perfect. I thought her, I'm thinking her face might hurt after all that smiling she had to hold up, but she probably did like the trainers wanted, so I was kind of eh afterwards, and I'm sure whoever you support, you're just reinforced, and still fight for that.
Here's a question for you.
You're right. Yeah.
Here's a question for you quickly. If the debate had ended after 45 minutes, who is the winner at that point?
I think Trump could have maybe pulled that off. From the standpoint of just appearance, she probably won by a few points, just looking a little more rehearsed than him. But he was obviously more fiery. She was almost plastic. But that's what they want, because impression does matter.
All right.
Yep. All right, good stuff.
The reason I say that is a lot of people on Twitter, nobody was really saying after about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, nobody was saying that Hillary Clinton was leading or that she had won. A lot of people were saying it at the end, but after about halfway through the debate, people were saying, well, so I think Trump is ahead.
Yeah. Let's go to Hank. Hank, you got it. Whoops, hang on a sec. Hank, you got a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll take it real quick. Republicans, and this includes Trump too, need to be aware that they need to do their advance work as far as these podiums and microphones. Trump got a bad microphone. The networks are not going to do it to a Republican because of the standard behavior is like with the Hewitt during the Kennedy-Nixon debate, was to basically stack the deck by the camera work, the microphones, like they did to Nixon in the Kennedy debate in '60. And that's standard operating procedure of the mainstream media.
What was wrong with his mic? I didn't notice anything wrong with his mic.
The mic was screechy. That's what gave him the.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think.
And the podium was not adjusted to make him look uncomfortable. And I think that there's
somebody said that were the podiums a different size. Somebody said hers was way smaller than his.
Well, it's because she is smaller than he is.
Okay.
But yeah, they had to agree beforehand on the size of all these sorts of things and what kind of equipment they were using. Yep. There are a lot of there's a lot of checklist points that they have to go through before the whole thing starts.
And she was a little bit too scripted. I mean, and she was always looking down at the stock answers. So she got a heads up from the networks of what questions they were going to ask. And the other one was that Lester Hunt kept on. He would not follow up on Clinton or dispute anything that Hillary said, but everything time Clinton was, they always followed up with disputing this or that. You could see the bias just in that alone, the fact that there were no follow-ups on Hillary. Hillary was accepted as gospel, or anything Trump said was not accepted by gospel by Lester Hunt.
Okay, thanks, Hank. Lester Holt, by the way, is the guy's name. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, till we are back, KBOI News Time, 9:37. Talking about last night's debate, got a plethora of callers on the line. Let's go to Terry of Boise. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. This is going really well. I think there are three things to say about one each of the people on the stage. Trump, he dominated the first 20, 30 minutes, and that's when most people watch. So I think that's why the polls are so positive toward him. Hillary really won on debate points, but she was so smug-looking. Plus, her ideas are outdated and liberal on some of them and wrong, and she did lie, but he did too sometimes. But anyway, I think her smugness is what got her.
It felt like that. It felt like when she spoke, he would get perturbed and a little angry, and that when he spoke, she would just act like she was bemused.
She would make this everything but the eye roll look. I mean, the eye roll was she's making herself not do it, but her mouth was like, But the host, Lester. I mean, I got to say, my family is debaters. He was not neutral. He had at least, I counted, four questions and follow-ups that were directed very negatively to Trump, and I only saw one follow-up that was phrased pretty neutrally to Clinton. So I was really surprised at him because I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, I just keep hearing people say...
Anything change as far as how you view?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The supporters for Trump would not have changed because they are already massively supportive, very, very, very tight with him. As far as the independents going... If they only watched the first 20, 30 minutes, they would think Trump won. you know.
Yeah.
And 4 years ago, Romney nailed the first debate with Obama. Even his wife told Obama that. But, you know, then Obama really studied hard, did well in the next debate. So, you know, I don't think that Trump's going to be motivated to do that because everybody's, you know, all these polls, almost all of them, there's only one or two outliers that say that he did not win. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he'll let it blow, and then we'll see if he, how he does on the next one.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Terry. That's interesting.
Instant message from the disgruntled vet says, if I could find loopholes to not pay taxes, I would use them. Why fault anyone for using the rules the IRS gave them?
I know. It just sounds funny.
Well, Trump always says that. He says, I didn't pay taxes because I used the laws of this country. If you don't like them, change them. And then she tries to make it seem like if you don't pay taxes, you're unpatriotic.
Well, you're not pulling your weight. And then the bankruptcy thing, she said you filed for bankruptcy 6 times. He said, no, I filed 4 times. When the truth is, he has filed for bankruptcy 6 times.
And as people have pointed out, I mean, he has run something to somewhere in the neighborhood of 110 businesses, and 6 of those have filed for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm guessing if you think any bankruptcy is just an awful thing, then that's you know, you could judge him by that.
Well, he takes advantage of the loss.
Yes, he does on percentages. It's probably a fairly low percentage based on how many businesses he's actually run.
See, I sometimes find it hard to people hand-to-mouthing it, paycheck to paychecking it. I mean, he bragged constantly about how much money he had, how many businesses he had.
But his whole
I get perturbed with that.
His whole premise this past year has been, I am extremely successful, and the country should be doing what I'm doing. Because this country owes a lot of money, you know, and I know how to make money. This country is, you know, losing jobs and losing people, and I know how to make jobs and keep people happy, things like that. However, she, you know, made the point that there are so many contractors that have worked with Trump companies that said, you know, once the work was done, they decided to renegotiate instead of pay.
Yeah, as she said, stiffed.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan and Meridian. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. So, Paul J., I just wonder, I've listened to you years and years on the radio, and this election has really got you for some reason, but the question I have for you is that could you really vote knowing that you've been lied to?
She
set herself up so many times, and we've seen it time, and to listen to her at the debate, I couldn't even stand looking at her.
I can't.
It's such a...
You gonna let me answer?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't vote for either one of these candidates.
Well, who are you gonna vote for then?
I don't know what I'll do. I don't know what I'll do at this time. And I understand the position that I'm in. It's a position a lot of people are in. I don't like either candidate. And I don't like several things about either candidate, and I hate to just throw my vote away, and I hate to just, you know, throw my hands up and you know, you vote for a third party, you're kind of wasting your vote. So, but you know, in Idaho, I guess push comes to shove, Trump's going to win in a landslide. Mm-hmm. So maybe it doesn't matter who you vote for.
I have known people who said that they're the same way. They don't care for Trump and they don't care for Hillary Clinton. And I've said, so what are you going to do? Are you going to vote for you know, Gary Johnson or the other lady, the Constitution Party? And they said, no, they haven't decided what to do yet. And then they always talk about throwing their vote away as if your vote doesn't count unless you manage somehow to help your candidate win.
Yeah, but
well, that's not necessarily the way it works. I mean, if you want to vote for if you think Trump is going to win Idaho, well, he probably will. It's a very Republican state, and he's the Republican candidate. It's worked that way since the last time Idaho voted for a Democrat was Lyndon Johnson in '64, who just barely beat Goldwater in the state. But since then, it's been all Republican, and it probably will be Trump in Idaho.
However, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
But if you think, well, I need to be on the winning side, then sure, I suppose vote for Trump. But if it's just a vote to you, and you want to vote your conscience, and don't necessarily think that your vote is some, you know, cosmic strategy, then I would say, you know, vote for whoever you think should be president or whoever you would like. And if you don't like anybody running, then vote in, you know, write in somebody else.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, somebody running is going to win.
And there are other offices being voted upon besides president.
Sure. And you can always leave it blank if you want to.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I don't know. What did he say there?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. 9:45, we'll take a break and be back.
The prosecution may rest today in the case of Ryan and Ammon Bundy. The latest coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
All right, here we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:49. Still people on the telephone. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, this has been pretty comical. I mean, you know, one thing on the birther thing, it's not who started it. It's who is making a fool to believe it. That's what that's about. What kind of a fool believed that? Obama released his certificate of live birth 7 years ago.
In 2011, and he completed...
No, in 2011, that's when he released the long form that they were demanding. He released a certificate of live birth.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter when he released it. The question to Trump was, if you've had this for 5 years, why are you just now saying that it was over, and then he never answered that.
And then the excuses for Trump. I mean, the fact that Hillary's prepared and knows what she's talking about, and he doesn't know policy or anything, and doesn't bother to learn. That's like a good thing. No, I think that doesn't make any sense to me. I think you want somebody who understands stuff and who can answer technical questions with facts. And then the last one is the most common. Well, Chris's defense for his bankruptcy was, well, yeah, but look at all the people he didn't cheat. I think
that's not what I said.
I mean,
that's not what I said. If you want to make stuff up, call somebody else. That's not what I said. Bye. I didn't say look at all the people he didn't cheat. I said he's had more than 100 businesses and 6 of them have gone bankrupt. And he used the bankruptcy laws of this country and told Hillary Clinton, if you don't like what I did, then change the laws. I didn't say, look at all the people he didn't cheat.
Well, you did say something about renegotiating.
Well, and renegotiating is, I was critical of Trump when I said that. I said there have been a lot of people who have come forward that said they are contractors and subcontractors, and when they've dealt with Trump companies, they've done the work and it was approved, and then afterward, when it was time to pay up, the Trump company said they wanted to renegotiate instead of pay.
Yeah.
And that's what Hillary Clinton brought up last night. And if that's going on, I mean, I have no sympathy for that.
Let's go to Tom of Emmett. Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Rich was the first one I called that didn't agree with you guys about what a great job Trump had done. I think the old adage of where Ginger Roger has to do the same thing Fred Astaire did backwards and in heels applies to Hillary Clinton. I get a lot of complaints that, well, she was just too good. She knew her stuff too well. She was practiced. And I just think we need to ask, are you better off now than we were 8 years ago? Because I'm a contractor, and I tell you what, this whole idea that, well, I wasn't satisfied with the work. When has he picked up a shovel, picked up a paintbrush, picked up a hammer in his life that he can tell working people how good their job is?
I thought it was interesting, too, that the $1 million thing he got apparently was $17 million. The gift from his father to get him started.
He has said all along that his father gave him $1 million or loaned him $1 million to start his business.
Apparently, was 17.
Well, no, she said 14 last night.
14.
Now, and I don't know where exactly she got the figure of 14, but she must have found it somewhere because she wasn't going to throw out any numbers that she hadn't checked on.
Yeah, and he did not deny that.
And I did like the place when the taxes were brought up, and he said, well, if he didn't pay any, it's because he's smart. Well, people hear about how much money you've made, and you haven't paid a dime in taxes. That pisses off people that are paying. I paid $9,000 last year. Mm-hmm. I had to write a check for it.
Yep.
And you know what I mean? I don't make a lot of money, but I do pay taxes, and I know that the government does need taxes. We do, you know, the wars and stuff, people do have to pay in.
Yeah, I agree. And people who, you know, use barter systems and do all this stuff to get around paying taxes, that angers me. And yeah, I know a lot of people do it.
Trump does it with lawyers.
Sure.
Trump does it with, he spends $1 million to save $10 million. We can't afford to do that. Average citizens can't afford to do that. And he has lobbied people to make the laws to where he can do that. He is the other side of the politician. He is the lobbyist that pays money to get what he needs. So I don't really call him head and shoulders above a politician.
Good. Good stuff. Who won the debate? Oh, never mind. He's gone.
Bill of Boise says, if that is a prepared Hillary, then we are all doomed. And he also pointed out, what I caught on ESPN was that they played an Arnold Palmer ad. Interesting. Debbie of Boise says, just wanted to let you know I respect you. Being able to stand up for your principles, I wish more people had a backbone and values to live by like you. Thanks. And she's talking to you.
Oh, there. Really?
Yeah. And Bob of Boise said, comparing his taxes and the way he runs his very successful business to Hillary's illegal activities is comparing apples to oranges. It's really not even a fair topic, but everybody seems to be very biased.
Can we get some vanilla people to run next time who don't have long problems, baggage? Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out at boisechurch.org.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
While you were focused on the presidential debates last night, another campaign trail story. Well, an entrail story anyway. A woman from Austria decided to bring her husband back home from overseas. Only one slight problem. All she had left were his entrails. Imagine the customs official that had to go through that bag. After a bit of confusion, a medical examiner finally determined that her husband was no longer in a state where he would need his entrails. Why, was the next question. After some careful interrogation by authorities, it was discovered that the woman had recovered his parts after a medical operation. After her own investigation, she made the determination that he had been poisoned. She returned to Austria for a proper toxicology exam. Turns out the authorities couldn't do it without the body, and she hadn't even broken any Austrian laws. So off she goes, entrails and all. And you thought your air travel was interesting. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.